Ephesians chapter 1. Chapter 1. Ephesians. Who can tell me how the Lord's Prayer begins? Our Father. You ever thought about that? Our Father. See, it's a prayer for the body of Christ.
Amen.
Our Father. And when you're praying that prayer as an individual, it should be prayed with an awareness that you are a member of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you're speaking as a member of the body of Christ. So I'd like for us tonight to look at this book of Ephesians, and we're going to look at it in terms of it as the body of Christ. You know, we tend to go to the scriptures and we study it and we read it as an individual.
Mm.
But to come to the place where you enter into these scriptures with an awareness that you're a member of the whole makes a difference. Because this is the way that the scriptures are ministered to, is to all of us. Every one of the epistles that Paul wrote, he wrote to a church, and he was speaking to the entire church. The epistle of the Ephesians is called the Epistle of Ephesians because from there, that epistle went out to other churches. This epistle went to all of the churches at that time. First chapter, verse 16. Lord, help us to go over these scriptures as a member of the whole. Paul says in verse 16, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, we talked about that earlier, how that Paul prayed for them in a continual way because he had them in his heart. And the love that he had for them. And he talks about that at the beginning of every epistle that he wrote. He speaks of the love that he has for them, and he blesses them and sends them peace and greetings and grace. He ministers to them, and he's not just saying these things. He's actually ministering this to them. Now, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. That's interesting. Have you ever thought about that phrase, the Father of glory? That he may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And so this is the way Paul was praying for the church there in Ephesus. Praying that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, the one that brings to birth, you see, the one that brings forth sons, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This is a wisdom and revelation that is to rest upon the whole body of Christ, you see. That means that involves you if you're in the body of Christ. It is to rest upon you. Now, you can't localize this to the church at Ephesus only, but because we have this epistle, we're a part of the body of Christ. So we're part of the Ephesian body too. And when Paul speaks these things, he's speaking them to us as well as to the church there at Ephesus. We need to understand that. You get a lot more out of the scriptures when you realize that it's speaking to you. Declare yourself as having been born. It was something the Israelites had to do when they came unto the Lord with their offering. Declare themselves. Of course, there's scripture talks about declaring their pedigree. And what that means is declare yourself as having been born. It speaks of an awareness that you have, that you have been born into the body of Christ, that you are no longer just an individual, but you're one of a whole. Now, we're going to get into these next few verses, and it's going to be talking about the fullness of Christ. We want to come into the fullness. But we've got to understand that this fullness of Christ is to be upon the many-membered body. It does not mean that you as an individual will come into the fullness of Christ. If you ever did, then you would need the rest of the body, see? And each member has the same care one for another. And so we realize that each joint supplies. You have something that is unique of the Lord Jesus Christ,
right,
that the rest of the body needs. Mm-hmm. So it's important for you to minister to that. And if you don't do it, you're held guilty before the Lord. He has worked something in you, something of Him, and you have the responsibility to minister that to the others. That gets back to the parable of the sheep and the goats. The sheep, he says, when I was sick and in prison, you visited me. When I was hungry, you fed me. And when I was naked, you clothed me. Lord, when did we do these things? Well, when you did it unto the least of one of these, my brethren, you were doing it to me. The whole body. But the old goats, now the goats represent Christians, not sinners out in the world, represent Christians. They're Christians of a different kind, though, because they're self-centered. And he said, you did not minister to me in those times. Lord, when did we see you hungry and not feed you? When were you in prison and we didn't visit you? When you didn't do it to the least of one of these, my brethren, you didn't do it to me. We have a responsibility. It goes all the way back to Genesis. Am I my brother's keeper? Yeah. You got it. You are your brother's keeper. See, it's the way the Lord works. That's divine order, that each one of us is responsible to be a channel for the Lord to minister to others. Don moved in that in the other service, and it ministered something to me. I was hoping he would, because we were in the office and talking, and he was saying some wonderful things, and it was ministering Christ to me. But and you need to know when you're ministering something of the Lord to someone, because oftentimes you don't feel like you're doing anything special. You know, You realize how inadequate you are, and that's all right. The Lord uses inadequate people. If you were adequate, yeah, you wouldn't need Him, and you wouldn't be able to minister. But Paul says, I pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised if the Greek doesn't read in the full knowledge of Him. In the knowledge of Him. You don't have a knowledge of the Lord without you experiencing His life and Him living in you. It's not knowing about Him. It's knowing Him because you're sharing His life, you see. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And the Greek reads the eyes of your heart. Remember, in the Beatitudes it says, the pure in heart shall see God. I like the way the Greek reads on that. It says, the pure in heart shall see God. The see God is with wide eyes, panoramic vision. See? You're going to get a complete vision of fullness of insight into the Lord. Why? Because, man, that pure heart just discerns and moves right in to the presence of the Lord. The eyes of your heart being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Do you know what the hope of His calling is upon you as an individual? Well, how about, do you know what the hope of His calling is on the body of Christ? We can partake of that. You see, the hope of His calling upon the body of Christ, we partake of that hope of His calling. And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance, did you catch that? His inheritance. Yeah. We like to think about, what are we going to inherit, Lord? Like the disciples. Lord, we've left everything.
What do we get?
Farms, home, land, all that stuff. Now, what do we get out of this? And Paul's trying to say, listen, it's not what you're going to get, it's what God's going to get out of this thing. Mm-hmm. Is God getting what He wants to get out of your life? The best way for Him to do that is when you know that you are a member of the body of Christ and you're functioning as a part of the whole. That you're not an individual separated from the body. Mm-hmm. We need one another. That oneness of spirit between us is absolutely necessary. We know who we are and what our mission is and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to me? No. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us, see, who believe according to the work of His mighty power. And that's a capital H there, His. According to the working of His mighty power. His power, His authority, the fullness of Him, of what He is going to be manifested through the many-membered body of Christ, or the many-membered Christ, you see. Obadiah speaks about many saviors on Mount Zion. Same difference. There's an Old Testament verse that is many saviors, many Christ. In other words, a many-membered Christ, you see, on Mount Zion. Mount Zion is always typical of the kingdom. Verse 20, which He wrought in Christ, the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe. To us who believe. Are you believing as an individual? Say, Lord, when are you going to bless me? When are you going to do this for me? When are you going to do that for me? When are you going to help me out of my mess? Who believe. Exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of His mighty power within that many-membered Christ, you see. All right. Which He wrought in Christ. See, there's where that tremendous power is. It's in Christ. When He raised Him, and King James says from the dead, the Greek reads when He raised Him out of the dead. As an individual, you're so close to dead. But when He comes forth in the body, you got to realize, because we too often we think as individuals. And we have to learn how to think as members of the body of Christ. When one member suffers, they all suffer. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. When one member rejoices, they all rejoice. The next time that you're going through the battle so great, oh man, things are just really difficult today. Well, it's not just coming against you. You're not that important. It's coming against the many-membered Christ. You see, the devil is fighting like everything because he knows that the many-membered Christ is the vehicle is going to stomp him into the ground. Mm-hmm. Bring about the total victory of the Lord. He doesn't want you to believe in your embodiment within that many members of Christ, he wants you to think as an individual. As long as you're thinking as an individual, and then that causes separation, so the enemy can just nullify you. I think this is most important that we get this. Now, I've got three portions of scripture. We may have to divide it up like we did this morning. I don't know. He wrought in Christ when he raised him out of your deadness, our deadness, set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion. You see where you are when you're positioned in Christ as a part of the whole, then you are above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. And that's when you begin to experience verse 6 of chapter 2. Raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's not, well, we're going to raise Henry up and set him in these places. No. The body of Christ, the many-membered body, is raised up. And if you're in that, see, you see how important it is to realize you're just one little within the whole. Verse 22. I see, but also in that which... Oh, let me don't get out of 21 too fast. Right at the end there where it says, but also in that which is to come. There's that King James future stuff there. The verb is in the coming. In that which is the coming. Or in the coming. In other words, it's the thing that's presently active. Verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head of all things to the church. See, he is the head, he is the Lord over the church. Church meaning the many-membered Christ, not some church organization down the street. But he is the head of the many-membered Christ, which is church. And if you're in that, then all things have been put under your feet, because it's under his feet. You see how I think it needs to change? Which is his body, which is the fullness of him that fills all in all. His body, he's talking about his many-membered body of Christ, is the fullness of him. Each one of us is a part of that body. So what Paul is speaking about here in this first chapter, he's talking about the fullness of the Lord, but not the fullness in any one individual, but the fullness in the body of Christ. But you can partake of that fullness. You can experience, you can know it in your oneness with the many members of Christ.